This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day with a great announcement from Jerusalem. And the announcement is the discovery of a new set of Dead Sea Scrolls. And this is the first time in 60 years they've actually discovered new scrolls. Now, you've been hearing news about the Dead Sea Scrolls because they have you're talking about pieces of parchment that are close to 2,000 years old. And they've been putting them together and trying to read them. But this is a brand new set, which is fairly astonishing. And the details say that Israeli archaeologists today announced the discovery of dozens of new Dead Sea Scroll fragments bearing text from the Hebrew Bible and dating back about 1900 years. They think that these scrolls were actually written down in the same vicinity as the Qumran, which is where they discovered most of the other scrolls, beginning in 1948. The new scrolls were written down, they're pretty sure, during the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, which was a Jewish rebellion against the Romans, in 134 to 136 of the Common Era. It's a long time ago. The Israeli Antiquities Authority announced today that there were 80 new pieces that are believed to belong to a set of parchment fragments found in a site known as the Cave of Horror, which is named for the 40 human skeletons that were found there during excavations in the 1960s. They also include a Greek rendition of the 12 so-called minor prophets, a book in the Hebrew Bible. The cave is located in a remote canyon about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. Apparently, they have been looking through many of these caves and sites to protect against plundering. And they came across these extra pieces. And some of them are fascinating because they show Greek translations of texts that were originally written in Hebrew, and there are some differences. They include Greek text from the biblical books of Zechariah, and Nahum. They'd have been radiocarbon dated to the 2nd century. That's all remarkable, and what a world we live in. And what an astonishing thing to discover in the middle of this march. Alongside the Roman era artifacts, the discoveries of no lesser importance found during the authority sweep of more than 500 caves of the desert, a 6,000-year-old mummified skeleton of a child. And you may say, well, I didn't know that Jewish people mummified people. Of course, Jewish tradition is there's no embalming of any kind, certainly not mummification. But guess what? 6,000 years ago, there were no Jewish people in that part of the world 6,000 years ago. That's talking, of course, about 4,000 B.C. That's before Moses, it's before Abraham. So it was an immense, complete, woven basket, estimated to be 10,500 years old. In 1961, Israeli archaeologist Yohanan Aharoni excavated the Cave of Horror, where his team found 9 parchment fragments belonging to a scroll with text from the 12 minor prophets in Greek and a scrap of Greek papyrus. It does make you realize that these elements, because biblical text is part of our life and part of our culture, whether you're religious or not. The Bible is part of the basis for Western culture. And the idea that we are so connected to texts of this sort of antiquity is remarkable. I'm sure we'll be finding out more about this as time goes on. There's also a piece, and it's an interesting piece by a writer named German Lopez. And the headline is COVID-19's Big Public Health Lesson: Ask People to Be Careful, Not Perfect. And let me ask you, at this point, we'll be glad to take calls on this. If you can think of something that should have been done differently about COVID-19 than what we did, because that's what this article is about, what should have been done differently? What would you have done differently personally about your personal life and your personal decisions? Or what should the American government or local governments here in Washington State or any other state, should they have done differently? What German Lopez writes at Vox.com is, for too long, America has approached public health issues with puritanical black and white approaches. Whether it's an abstinence-only approach for teen sex and HIV/AIDS, or refusing to provide clean needles and overdose antidotes to people who use drugs, the country has a tendency to prefer the perfect but unrealistic over the better and pragmatic. The U.S. repeated those mistakes again with the COVID-19 pandemic. He writes, much of the discussion about the coronavirus and how to mitigate it has been framed in absolutist terms. The initial phase of the pandemic was marked by harsh lockdowns, including relatively safe spaces like parks and beaches. People created Instagram accounts to shame those who didn't perfectly follow the precautions. Schools have remained closed, partly because parents and teachers are worried about any risk of COVID-19, suggesting that any risk whatsoever is too much. But over the course of the pandemic, an alternative has started to take hold: harm reduction. That approach, initially popularized by activists working on drug use and HIV/AIDS, focuses on minimizing risk, even under less than ideal circumstances, such as telling people to have safe sex rather than abstain entirely, or to be monogamous to avoid HIV. In other words, he thinks it's a mistake to tell people you have to be monogamous in order to be, avoid HIV. That the emphasis all along should have been on using condoms, taking precautions, rather than moderating people's behavior. See, this whole idea that asking people not to use deadly drugs, not to shoot up with heroin or methamphetamines, or to destroy yourself that way, that the important thing is clean needles. Now, I understand that you can make a case, and he even cites the case of Mike Pence in his piece, that eventually Mike Pence was persuaded when he was governor of Indiana, and they had a huge upsurge in the rate of infection that was being passed along, and particularly with AIDS in his state, that he went along with this idea of needle exchanges. The question is, what should the government do? Should it simply give up on people and say, well, they're going to be drug addicts anyway, so we will help them be drug addicts? Should the idea of... And by the way, there is no such thing as safe sex if you are making extraordinarily unsafe choices emotionally and physiologically with extreme promiscuity and some sexual practices that are more dangerous than others. And this idea that somehow society should not have goals that may be unattainable, but are still worth pursuing, is basically to say that the government and society should be officially signed up to help people do themselves harm. I don't think that's a lesson from coronavirus at all. We'll be right back. Dr. Stephen Meyer is a New York Times bestselling author, and his new book, Return of the God Hypothesis, makes the case for the undeniable intelligent design of the universe. And it's already looking like a smash hit. Clear, compelling, and entertaining to read. Meyer skewers materialism, a must-read, and a convincing argument. Those are just some of the comments from the more than 40 scientists who've endorsed the book. Using discoveries from cosmology and physics, in Return of the God Hypothesis, Meyer reveals his stunning conclusion. The science supports not just the existence of an intelligent designer, but the existence of a personal God. Pre-order at discovery.org/medved. That's discovery.org/medved. And get these special pre-order perks. A sneak peek at an exclusive excerpt from the book, a free digital booklet about intelligent design, discounts for Dr. Meyer's online course, and an invitation to a private online meeting with Dr. Meyer. Get all this when you pre-order at discovery.org/medved. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. Amfed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at Amfed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American-made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show, the big problem that I have with this piece that tries to compare a coronavirus kind of policy to the policy of abstinence education rather than simply a sexual education on how to do safer sex, And the problem is that what it ignores is a basic function of government is to try to encourage proper behavior, healthy behavior, behavior that is going to help not just individuals, but is going to help the entire community, and to discourage the opposite, to discourage things that are destructive and dangerous, and to encourage things that are likely to benefit you. And the idea of some of the lockdown policies, and by the way, it is completely true that if you look around the world, most of the lockdown policies have an immediate impact. They do reduce the transmission of the disease, but nowhere in the world have they been able to completely eliminate it. I mean, I guess you could say they're close in Australia and New Zealand, but they are very, very tough in terms of what they mandate. And the other thing is that there is a difference between encouraging and discouraging behavior in terms of the government. When you give out needles, you are not discouraging destructive behavior. A needle exchange and the whole idea of trying to facilitate people in the less instantly dangerous forms of heroin addiction, however you're shooting up heroin, it's dangerous. It's not good for you. It's destructive. And by the way, it's like that the same idea of the drunk dorms, the idea that one of the homeless shelters has a homeless shelter for chronic alcoholics, and to qualify you have to have been arrested. I'm not sure they still hold to this. But initially, the people who are initially getting these rooms, this is in Seattle, it's on East Lake, and people would get the rooms only if they had been qualified by having five or more arrests for drunk and disorderly. And then they reward you by letting you live in this facility where you can continue drinking. There's no belief that it's even possible for a human being to moderate that kind of self-destructive behavior. And that idea on giving up on people, giving up on the idea of redemption, it's a terrible idea. There is this. I think this might even qualify for one of our more prestigious in the Oscar awards, the Golden Turkey Award.
Than the Academy Awards.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank God.
Groovier than the Grammys.
I would like to thank my wonderful agent.
And more powerful than the People's Choice.
I would like to share this with every single senator.
Now, it's time for another Golden Turkey Award nomination.
Woo-hoo! Thank you so much!
Now, this could be a double award, and it could go to the writer of the article as well as to the subject of the article. The writer of the article seems to be addicted to peas. No, I'm not talking about that little green vegetable. It's very tasty and very nutritious. I'm talking about the letter P. The headline is, Pickle Packing Perv Popped on Private Premise. And the subhead is In a Pickle. And here is the story, or the parts of it that I can read to you on a family show, which is means that some essential elements may have to be omitted or hinted at. A pantless Florida man was arrested yesterday after police spotted him pleasuring himself, and the pleasuring really should be in quotes, but because this doesn't sound like most people's ideas of pleasure. In any event, police spotted him pleasuring himself with a pickle while on a private premise. And according to an arrest affidavit, there's that return to the pleasuring himself with a pickle on a private premise. and she sells seashells at the seashore, right. Responding to a suspicious person call at 4 p.m., still light, a cop saw Eric DeStige, who's 47, lying on his back in front of a townhouse in Oldsmar, a city near Tampa. DeStige, unencumbered by pants or underwear of any kind, held something in one hand, a piece of personal equipment, and a large uneaten pickle in his other hand. The cop reported that the perpetrator was seen doing something with the pickle while he was doing something else with his other hand. DeStige was arrested on a misdemeanor exposure of sexual organs charged. I don't think they consider the pickle a sexual organ. He is being held in the Pinellas County Jail in lieu of a $150 bond. If he has no one who can afford $150 to get him out of jail, yes, then he is in a real pickle, as Jeremy added. There's no doubt. DeStige, whose address is listed as Flying Cloud Mobile Home Park in Tampa, has prior convictions for theft, for disorderly conduct, for resisting police, and for criminal mischief. Jail records note that DeStige has "Only God Can Judge Me" tattooed on his arm. There is no indication in court records that the pickle was seized as evidence. Considering the recent experiences of that pickle, that's probably a good thing. When we come back, there's more about renaming a space telescope. Why? Is the previous namesake of the space telescope somebody who had been caught in a hashtag situation, or maybe was a secret racist? Nope, it's because they actually want to make some connection with a deeper cause. We'll get to this strange tale and much more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Become a MedHead member today.
Michael, my wife and I are MedHead members, and we've listened to you for years.
Commercial-free podcasts, commentaries, find out more at michaelmedved.com.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
If you've been following the markets, then you know how huge the automation markets are becoming. Robotics, autonomous cars, and enterprise automation services are revolutionizing entire industries. The bottom line is that automation is powering the future. And you can find out which companies are leading the charge with your free subscription to Avid Biotech Stock Trends when you text the word trend to 48542. We've identified a cutting-edge company that's leading the industry in creating the next generation of robotics and automation. Get this cutting-edge intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device when you text the word TREND to 48542. Get ahead of the curve on robotics and automation industry leaders with your free research from Biotech Stock Trends. Text the word TREND to 48542. Text TREND to 48542. Text the word TREND to 48542.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is on the road selling the massive stimulus/COVID-19 relief bill he signed recently. Biden visiting Smith Flooring in Chester, Pennsylvania. regarding that COVID relief bill. Republican Senator from Florida, Rick Scott, says some of the things we aren't hearing from the president include...
Well, think about this. He didn't brag about giving checks to inmates. He didn't talk about what taxes he's going to raise. I mean, this should have been a targeted bill. Less than 9% of this bill has anything to do with COVID. Less than 1% has to do anything with vaccines. He didn't talk about how much waste is going to be in this.
Texas's two senators are leading a trip for lawmakers to the border next week. Republican Senator John Cornyn says the Biden administration won't admit the surge in illegal immigration is a major problem. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
On the Michael Medved show, one of the things that, of course, conservatives are very concerned about across the country and really across the board is the idea of cancel culture. And there is a very dramatic example of cancel culture at its dumbest and maybe least consequential. And that has to do with the naming of the space telescope. Okay, this is a piece in Quillette by physicist Lawrence M. Krauss, very well-respected a man of science and involved in the popular culture. He is not known to be a conservative. But he writes this, Scientific American, once a rigorous scientific publication, published an opinion column by several young scientists who advocate changing the name of the James Webb Space Telescope because Webb, a former NASA administrator, was administrator when the federal government did not adequately respect LGBTQ rights. Okay, Webb, most people have forgotten him. He was appointed by John Kennedy. He served as director of NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, during the time that they were getting started winning the space race and setting us on the path to go to the moon. He was also a United States Under Secretary of State under Harry Truman, for goodness sake. And he's a former Marine. He's from Granville County, North Carolina. There's no scandal with him. No problem. And it says that, as Dr. Krause says in his piece in Quillette, he says, Webb is not incriminated as a racist or a bigot or a homophobe, but, quote, as a servant of bigots. John Kennedy and Harry Truman, are they going to have to be canceled too? The proposal is to drop the name James Webb Space Telescope and to rename the telescope the Harriet Tubman Space Telescope. Now, why? Isn't that a little bit of a challenge? I mean, Harriet Tubman's great. She's going to be on the $20 bill. On the back side of the bill or the front side of the bill, and Andrew Jackson is moving to the back side of the bill. Fine, fine, fine. But why is a space telescope named after Harriet Tubman? Right? She really didn't have much to do with astronomy or space exploration. NASA didn't exist. Okay, why? Not because, writes Lawrence Krauss, not because Tubman might have made any contribution to astronomy, but because she was a conductor on the Underground Railroad, that's true, during which she, quote, likely used the North Star to navigate to freedom. Really? That's where we are with cancel culture. I do think that it's very important that when we are responding to this kind of thing, look, this is a stupid and it's a shame. And I don't think there are too many other things named after James Webb. And I think given the fact that he appears to have been a blameless public servant, it's ridiculous to try to remove his name to something that has borne it honorably for a very long time. But it's also very important when we're talking about canceling somebody that we actually deal with erasing them. And that seems to be an attempt here. But one of the problems that I have is that people don't recognize that there's such a thing as a cleanup culture, which is defensible, where a cancel culture is not. Let me give you an example. And the example is this flurry of condemnation about, oh, they're going to make it impossible for little kids to enjoy some classic Disney fare like Dumbo and like Peter Pan, which is really one of the great animated movies ever, or the Aristocats or even Swiss Family Robinson because the pirates are depicted as Asian. I think it's stupid. However, can we be just very clear on this? With all the hysteria that is going on about cancel culture, they are not making it impossible for kids to see this stuff. It is just that when you get this stuff from Disney Plus, you can only get it as an adult. In other words, they have stuff that is restricted to 7-year-olds. And what they are saying, I don't think it's necessarily true, is that before you see material that has some significant racist implications in it, and I think that is true of Dumbo with these singing crows, before you see that, there ought to be some context. And they have a warning that comes with the film that the cultures have changed and that the standards are different. Okay, fine. That's cleanup culture, if you will. And there's an example of that. I'm writing about this right now, and it's fascinating, is that in one of the greatest, really one of the greatest animated films ever, Fantasia, which was made in 1940, which includes some of the greatest animation ever drawn to bring to life some of the greatest music ever composed. There's a section with the Beethoven 6th Symphony, the Pastorale Symphony, where the Disney animators had basically used the music to illustrate a reconstruction of all kinds of mythical Greek creatures, flying horses and little cupids fluttering around, and centaurs. Centaurs are half man, half horse. The horse, four legs, and then a full human torso where the horse's long neck would be. And the centaurs are very romantic, and the music is very romantic, and it's lovely. The problem in that scene is there are two centaurs who are really centaurettes, who don't have horses for their bottom end. They have donkeys, and they're black. And they are identified in the press book for Fantasia as a sunflower and Otika. And Sunflower, you see her, she is shining the hooves of one of the white, beautiful centaurs. This is profoundly offensive. It's completely unacceptable. Now, if nobody has ever canceled Fantasia, it continues to be one of the best-selling, most viewed Disney films. What they did is they went back, and it's 1969, almost 30 years after the film was released, and they readjusted it. What they did, they didn't even reanimate it. What they did is they did a different focus on those scenes so that the little insulting black stereotypical, very negative and racist images were out of the screen. In other words, you see the white centaurette sort of preening, but you don't see the black centaurette leaning down and polishing her hooves. Okay, is that a crime? Well, it was authorized by the Disney company, and it may have been authorized before Walt himself died. But it doesn't change or harm the quality of what is a great film. They also did the same thing with the Three Little Pigs, which is rated not by animators the number 11 best animated film ever made, greatest animated film ever made. There was a moment in the Three Little Pigs that also needed to be adjusted. I'll tell you about it coming up. And Mitt Romney says we need to adjust our response to the Olympics coming up in Beijing. I think he's right. We'll get to that, too, coming up on the MedVet Show.
Entertain your brain every day.
I really, really wonder what's going on in your head.
On the Michael MedVet Show.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
With new leadership in Washington, D.C., it's abundantly clear that Americans are deeply divided. What does our country even believe anymore? What do we have in common? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. The Institute stands for the first things, the permanent things. Religious liberty, freedom of conscience, the family, limited government, free markets, our Judeo-Christian heritage. The Institute for Faith and Freedom is unafraid to support these timeless truths and principles with no apologies. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com and you'll see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund managers. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. You can find all of this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's www.faithandfreedom.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Medved Show, I was just going to tell you the punchline about the Great Three Little Pigs controversy. I am sure that almost everybody here has seen this silly symphony, which was released by Disney in 1933. And it was when the Disney Company was still young and struggling, and they were doing silly symphonies yet. They hadn't even done Snow White yet, their first feature-length cartoon, animated film. And they did this silly symphony, and the traditional tale about the three pigs, one who built a house of straw, and one who built a house of sticks, and one who built a house of bricks, and the house of bricks does better in defending against the big bad wolf. Surprise. Spoiler alert. Okay. The film came out in 1933. It has this insanely catchy, "Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf? Big Bad Wolf." You know the song. Everybody does. Okay, the Big Bad Wolf during this 8-minute film, for about 15 seconds, disguises himself as a Jewish peddler. But it's every anti-Semitic stereotype you've ever seen. And when he tries to sneak into the House of Bricks to eat the pigs, which I guess you wouldn't do normally if you're a Jewish peddler and you're following dietary laws, but this is the Big Bad Wolf we're talking here. The Big Bad Wolf has a long beard, he has a big, huge, hooked nose, and he speaks in a Yiddish accent. Very thick Yiddish accent with a little violin a la Fiddler on the Roof playing in the background. And it's profoundly offensive, and it's anti-Semitic, and a number of people made the point years later, after the film's release, after it won the Oscar, after international acclaim, after making more than 10 times the investment in producing this little film, they pointed out that the image of the big bad wolf in disguise here in his Jewish masquerade was virtually identical to Nazi propaganda images. They had a big propaganda film called The Eternal Jew, Der Ewige Jude, that had almost the same imagery, and that would have been based on the Three Little Pigs, because it came out later. That film came out in 37. Okay, so what's the point? In 1948, after the Holocaust, and Walt authorized this, they took that anti-Semitic thing out. They reanimated it. and the wolf is still trying to come to this door as a Fuller Brush man, but they dropped in a different voice, no Yiddish accent, and no problem. So you can now enjoy the Three Little Pigs without getting a taste of toxic anti-Semitism. What's the point about all this? That the idea of things that were once considered acceptable, maybe even funny, like the shoe-shining black centaur, or the predatory wolf trying to masquerade as a predatory Jew, those things don't work today. And it's not a bad thing in our society that we've moved beyond that, is it? I mean, some of the old minstrel show stuff, there's a character in Hollywood who was known as, his trade name was Sleep and Eat. His name was Willie Best. He was actually a pretty good actor. He's a comedian, a rival to Step and Fetch It. But try to imagine that. Black character actors who were known as Sleep and Eat and Step and Fetch It. No, it wouldn't go today. And we shouldn't, when we're deriding cancel culture, say, oh my goodness, what happened to those wonderful Step and Fetch It films? Well, they're cringeworthy to watch today. Things change. And when things can be cleaned up with the approval of the creators, like that, those Dr. Seuss books, I wish they hadn't canceled them. And they did. But it was the publisher themselves, the Dr. Seuss Foundation, that said, hey, we don't want to release these books anymore because it will damage the very valuable reputation of our author. I wish instead of doing it, just canceling the books, they had just taken out the one page in each of the books. And I think that I saw it on Mulberry Street. I think it happened on Mulberry Street or on If I Ran the Zoo, taking out the offensive imagery and basically doing a Disney number on it. More on that, I'm sure, in days to come. Mitt Romney is calling for a non-traditional boycott of the Olympics in Beijing. And he also has a powerful piece in the New York Times today under the right way to boycott the Beijing Olympics. He was on KSL Radio in Salt Lake City. Listen.
Well, what I would suggest is that we tell large corporations that typically put packages together for their customers, their suppliers, some of their employees, and send them off to the Olympics. They buy a lot of tickets, hotel rooms, meals, and so forth in the country that's hosting the games. We'd say to these companies, don't do it. Boycott these Olympics. Watch the Olympics on TV like the rest of us, and perhaps take your customers on a trip to, I don't know, some beautiful place in the United States. But don't go to Beijing. Likewise, those that are planning on broadcasting the games, let's not show the jingoistic propaganda that China's going to put on the air. Let's instead broadcast some of the things that China's doing that are outrageous.
Okay, look, he makes the point that they shouldn't punish the athletes, they should punish the Chinese. And he writes that President Jimmy Carter applied an athlete boycott to the Moscow Olympics in 1980. The result was more medals for Russians and dashed dreams for American athletes. No one seriously believes it improves Soviet behavior. And then he goes on to have this idea of doing an economic boycott that would damage the Chinese economy and the returns they hope to make from these Olympics in Beijing. It seems to me a sensible and appropriate middle ground and worth considering. And speaking of the Olympics and sports, I am not a fan of the game of soccer. I admit I don't really understand it or get it. It seems intensely boring to me, but okay, lots of people love it. But you don't have to love soccer to watch the a new series that is available for viewing. It is called Ted Lasso, about an American football coach who gets a big job all of a sudden in a professional soccer league in Great Britain. Listen.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
A kind-hearted Kansas football coach, played by Jason Sudeikis, gets a surprise job offer to rebuild a struggling British soccer team in the surprisingly popular series Ted Lasso, now streaming on Apple TV+.
I know that AFC Richmond is going to go out there and give you everything they got for all four quarters. Two halves, win or lose.
All tie.
Right, y'all do ties here.
Well, at least he's learning, but it takes him a while to figure out the plot twist revealed to the audience at the beginning, that he was actually hired to destroy the team as revenge by its owner, the glamorous Hannah Waddingham, on her estranged ex-husband. None of it's believable, but the characters are engaging, and there's an uplifting theme about the secret power of niceness. It's rated TV mature for mostly comical sex references and some harsh language. 2.5 stars for the Apple Plus TV series Ted Lasso.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
And it's 10 episodes, and what's surprising about it is that for a film that's all about soccer, what the British call football, there are almost no game scenes. Apparently, in the next 10 episodes, there will be more, because this has been very successful and popular, and has been renewed for another 10 episodes. Coming up tomorrow on The Medved Show, the world's smallest violin, the Boston Marathon bomber, in a suit that he prepared himself, he hand-wrote it in prison. He is suing over his treatment in prison. And now, he committed mass murder. He is an evil terrorist. And do you remember when Bernie Sanders got in some trouble talking about wanting even convicted felons serving life sentences to vote? In any event, he votes for suing the government because they're not treating him right. There is also this quote from a leading leader of the Democratic Party left, who said, "The community is sick and tired of people engaging in criminal destruction and violence and doing it under the guise of some noble cause." We'll tell you who made that statement. And we will also talk about God being thanked at the Grammy Awards with a very surprising audience response. Not what you might expect. And meanwhile, libraries are getting $200 million in stimulus funds. What does that have to do with COVID-19? We will provide the scintillating answer and much, much more. Next time, Wednesday, in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Power grid failures and natural disasters. They happen too often now. Will financial collapse be next? What kind of emergency plan do you have for the next sudden food shortage? If you don't, it's time to prepare. At MyPatriotSupply.com, we make it easy for you. Our emergency food storage kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They ship fast and discreetly to your door. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets. 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals, Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.